What you are about to experience is out of this world. Politics, history, and of course, a lot of entertainment. It's time to rock it with the Docket.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Kyle Dockery with the Dockery Docket. We are here with our very 134th episode of the Dockery Docket. I'm excited to be here, and I hope that you are excited to be here as well. And if you are excited to be here as well, make sure to go down below, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, so then you never miss one of my videos. So, I have a confession to make, and I'm really mad because usually I am better than this, but I might have accidentally kind of spread misinformation by accident. It was an accident. As last week, and also on Tuesday, I talked about the whole Trump indictment thing in Georgia, and Trump getting his mugshot, and all that stuff. And so, I get a notification on my phone that said, Trump's mugshot is here, and I got super duper excited. I clicked on the link, and this was the mugshot that I saw. I got excited, so I took the picture and spread it everywhere. I put it on social media, I sent it to friends, I started making memes and banners for the Dockery Docket Facebook page. I was super excited because I got it first. I did it. And then the news broke that it was a fake mugshot. And then we were graced with the actual Trump mugshot. Just look at this masterpiece. This is probably the greatest photo of Trump that we have ever seen. I believe that the Democrats and the judge in Fulton County were stupid for making Trump take a mugshot, because already Trump has made over $7.0 million over this mugshot. He's putting it on shirts, he's putting it on mugs, he's putting it on hats, he's putting it everywhere, and people are buying it up. And I'm also planning on buying either a poster of the mugshot or a shirt with the mugshot on it. Along with that, separate companies are making their own versions of the mugshot and selling it on mugs, t-shirts, stickers, hats. This photo will be ingrained in every single American's memory. And it is interesting to think about that both Democrats and Republicans are thrilled that this mugshot was taken and released. The left loves this image because they can claim that they finally got Trump, and this makes Trump look like the criminal that they think he is. They also love that it is the first mugshot of a former United States president, once again making history, but not for a good reason. And the right loves it because it makes Trump look like a bad donkey. Sorry, I don't swear. Use the biblical term of donkey. It is a picture of vengeance. It is a picture of rage. It is a picture of revenge and resistance. It is a picture for the right to show the left and say, look, you have gone way too far with these different indictments. For both parties, the picture means something different. And I don't think I've ever seen a picture that has done that since the blue and black or white and gold dress. However, the night wasn't done for Trump, as Trump was in the jail for about 15 minutes. He came back out after paying the bond and made this statement.
Thank you very much for being here. I really believe this is a very sad day for America. This should never happen. If you challenge an election, you should be able to challenge an election. I thought the election was a rigged election, a stolen election. And I should have every right to do that. As you know, you have many people that you've been watching over the years do the same thing, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams or many others. When you have that great freedom to challenge, you have to be able to, otherwise you're going to have very dishonest elections. What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. And everybody knows it. I've never had such support. And that goes with the other ones, too. What they're doing is election interference. They're trying to interfere with an election. There's never been anything like it in our country before. This is their way of campaigning. And this is one instance, but you have three other instances. It's election interference. So I want to thank you for being here. We did nothing wrong at all. And we have every right, every single right, to challenge an election that we think is dishonest, that we think it's very dishonest. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you very soon. Thank you very much.
Now, with this little interview, Trump is speaking in legal terms, trying to make sure that he doesn't incriminate himself, which is good for his case. His lawyers probably told him, hey, don't say anything ridiculous. Then at 9:38 p.m., Trump posted to his Twitter account for the first time since he was banned. Let me just say that the Twitter world went absolutely nuts. The post, as of right now, has 250 million views, and according to Elon Musk, it got 10 million views per hour. Listen, this may be the return of the old Trump. The Trump that we used to know and love. The troll. The 2016 posting memes. Posting funny things. We are laughing and enjoying politics again. This moment in time reminds me a lot of 2016. It is a breath of fresh air from how I felt last week. Trump is back. And even after the Republican debate, which I don't plan on doing a review on because it was boring, Trump still won that debate because the candidates kept talking about Donald Trump. And while they were debating, Trump was on Twitter talking to Tucker Carlson, which once again broke Twitter. Along with that, Trump's polls are going up, and even recently there was a poll showing that support for Trump was going up in the African American community, which could swing this election. Along with that, Trump is getting a boost in the Republican nomination polls and the polls against Joe Biden. Now, speaking of Joe Biden, where has he been? What has been going on with him? I honestly haven't talked about him in a while because, well, he and his DOJ were trying to lock up their political rival, which was more important than Joe Biden spending time at the beach. Anyway, Joe Biden has a crisis on his hands right now, as there's a real tragedy in Maui, as there was a massive forest fire that hit the island, which is a part of Hawaii. According to my sources, the fire was started by high winds, which knocked down power poles, which led to the electrical wires to spark and catch the grass or trees or other vegetation on fire. I mean, the videos coming from Maui are just heartbreaking to watch. The wind is blowing, I believe, at hurricane force winds, which just makes the fire spread more. Multiple houses have been completely obliterated. They're just gone. Cars are literally being melted into the ground. Like, it is a seriously terrible situation there on the ground. And people had to make a split decision on if they were going to stay on the island or go into the ocean to avoid the flames. I couldn't imagine making that decision. And there are so many stories of brave people escaping the flames by jumping into the ocean. One woman spent hours in the ocean clutching a piece of plywood and a stranger's 2-year-old child. A 19-year-old and a 13-year-old escaped the fire with their mother by jumping into the ocean, and the two boys were able to huddle around their mom to keep her warm till it was safe for them to return back to the shore. Sadly, not everyone that jumped into the water was safe, as many people tragically passed away in the water. Along with that, there are people on the island that died just from the fires. As right now, the death toll is at 115 people, and there are reports to be 388 people missing. 14,500 people have been evacuated so far, and some are expecting for more people to tragically pass away from this carnage. I honestly pray for the people of Maui, and I hope that they get the resources and help that they need. However, with everything, this tragedy turned political, as Joe Biden seems to have a pattern when it comes to national tragedies, and it has really hurt him politically, as he tries to play Captain Sympathy, but it just falls flat. I call this new pattern the Joe Biden crisis cycle. First, something terrible happens. Joe Biden says that he is sad to hear about that tragedy. People demand Joe Biden to either visit said area or help out the situation. It takes Joe Biden a long time to do something to help or to visit the people. People get angry. Biden arrives super late. And then Biden gaffes and tries to show sympathy by telling an over-exaggerated story. Look at any tragedy during the Joe Biden administration. And this crisis cycle works with every single one of them. For Afghanistan, the mission was a failure which ended up killing 13 American soldiers. Joe Biden said that he is sad about the tragedy and they are trying to fix it. And then Joe Biden drags his feet on trying to fix the situation. People got angry at Joe Biden. Biden then tries to help the situation, but the damage has already been done. Then, when the 13 service members that were killed come back home in coffins, he is 1, checking his watch, and 2, telling the military families that he can relate to them, because according to Joe Biden, his son died in Afghanistan as well, which is a lie. He died of brain cancer back home. Still tragic, but not comparable. This was the same situation for the whole Ohio train derailment scandal that took place and Joe Biden decided to go to Ukraine instead of go to Ohio. So he pushed it on Mayor Pete, who fell into the Joe Biden cycle. He said the tragedy was terrible and that he would visit the city. Then he drug his feet. People got angry. Then Trump showed up and then he decided to go. But when he got there, it was already too late. And of course, the cycle just keeps on turning because it happened with this situation in Maui. As when the fire started, Joe Biden was on vacation for a week. And then he was criticized for going back on vacation a week after that while the island was burning. Now, I will be honest, I don't really care if Joe Biden goes on vacation. It's not like Joe Biden can go down to Maui and take out the fires himself. However, the problem arrives when at the beach, reporters ask Joe Biden if he had any comment on the wildfires, and Joe Biden responded by saying, "No comment," and even smirked. Just take a look at this. Now, the White House is playing damage control and claiming that Joe Biden didn't hear the question, but this still caused an uproar, as even Democrats were angry about this comment. As a former Hawaii state representative claimed, "I campaigned for you. Now, when I lose dozens of my friends, family, and neighbors, this?" So now Joe Biden is in a hole of his own making, and now residents of the island are angry about this situation. They are ticked that Joe Biden went on vacation while their homes burned. And once again, following the Biden crisis cycle, the people feel like Joe Biden hasn't done enough for the island, and it has taken him too long for him to come down and visit the island. As it has been 2 weeks after the fire and Joe Biden still didn't arrive. Joe Biden was there, but where was Joe? Where was he? So when Joe Biden decided to arrive on the island, the people of Maui were angry and decided to make their voices heard, as there was video footage from TMZ showing residents on both sides of the street giving Joe Biden the bird and one person claiming, "Wow, he's finally here. 13 days. Thanks for nothing. F you." Now, Joe Biden has already sent some aid to the people, as he sent them a one-time $700 check. But everyone understands that this island is going to need a lot more than that to rebuild their community. And of course, it makes sense that the people of Maui want more than a one-time $700 check. So the residents of the island were angry about this, especially after finding out that we are soon going to be sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. Again, on the side of the road, Joe Biden was getting flipped off, and there were people holding up signs demanding that the government give them more aid so then they can rebuild their island, which I hope is coming soon. Democratic representative, also from Hawaii, named Tulsi Gabbard, claimed that, "Unfortunately, again, there is a trust deficit because not only have people not shown up, but it was almost a slap in the face of the people there when the big announcement from FEMA was, 'Hey, we're going to give you a one-time payment of $700. Anybody who has been to Hawaii knows that $700 does not go very far at a time when so many have lost everything. So Joe Biden is once again in hot water. He showed up late. It took him a long time to get people relief. And according to the people on the island, it wasn't enough relief. And then when he got there, people got mad at him. So now we have the next step in the cycle. Joe Biden was going to go on stage and gaffe. And gaffe he did, as Joe Biden decided to make a speech thanking people for their efforts to help the island. And Joe struggled to pronounce different Hawaiian officials' names. Now, I know that I am not good with saying people's names either, and sometimes I just give up and say that I can't pronounce a name. Joe Biden could also say the representative or senator from Hawaii. He doesn't even have to say their name. I did that in this very episode because I didn't know how to pronounce one of the Hawaiian officials' names. Here is Joe Biden stumbling over names.
Brian Shands, our senator, Senator Mazie. By the way, Mazie, I told my granddaughter, whose name is Mazie as well, she said, "That's why I like her." Anyway, but her name is Mazie as well. And Jill Takuda, Representative Ed Chase.
And then Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre did the exact same thing, as she also mispronounced one of the state senators' names and then even misgendered the female senator by referring her to he, which in some states I believe is considered to be a hate crime. So I will just wait here until the indictment comes after Karine Jean-Pierre.
We're waiting.
Anyway, Joe Biden is just a mess when it comes to this stuff, and it doesn't make him look serious when he is joking around with the senator when it comes to her name. It makes him look like an old man that doesn't understand or know what he is doing. However, it just gets worse. As Joe Biden decided to show some sympathy, as Joe Biden decided to compare the situation on the island with a small kitchen fire that happened to him back in the past. Just take a listen to this. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to compare difficulties, but we have a little sense, Jill and I, what it's like to lose a home. Years ago, now 15 years ago, I was in Washington doing Meet the Press. It was a sunny Sunday, and lightning struck at home on a little lake. It's outside of our home, not a lake, a big pond, and hit a wire and came up underneath our home into the heating ducts, the air conditioning duct. To make a long story short, I almost lost my wife, my 67 Corvette, and my cat. But all kidding aside, I watched the firefighters, the way they responded. You know, there's an old expression. I grew up right across the street from a fire hall in Claymont, Delaware. And the expression is, God made man, then he made a few firefighters. You're all crazy, thank God. The only people who run into flames to help other people. And they ran into flames, saved my wife and saved my family. Not a joke. The smoke, and the firefighters here can tell you, sometimes smoke is so thick from the windows out, it was that thick inside the home.
Now, this might have not been the best time to tell this story, especially the part where he claimed that he almost lost his prized Corvette. Could you imagine losing everything that you own in a fire? Your neighbor loses everything. You lose your car, your pictures, your home, maybe even a loved one. And here comes Joe Biden saying, "Oh, I know exactly how you feel." No, you don't. You have no idea how these different people feel, and this is why I believe if there is a tragedy or a death in the family, you should never say, "I know how you feel." This is a PSA for anyone out there. This is not related to Joe Biden. This is just common courtesy. Never say, "I know how you feel," because it is impossible to understand other people's emotions. People grieve differently. People handle different things in a different way that may seem strange to others. But I'm telling you right now, the last thing that a person wants to hear after a tragedy is, "Oh, I know exactly how you feel," and then randomly tell you a story about themselves. I get that Joe Biden is trying to lighten the mood up a little bit, but there is a time and a place for that, and this wasn't that time. These people needed healing. And a president to come in and say, "We are going to help this island and we are going to make it great again." Then doing some research on this event, the fire might not have been as serious as Joe Biden claimed it was. As according to the Associated Press, local police chief George Lamborn claimed, "Luckily we got to it pretty early. The fire was under control in 20 minutes. And the AP reported that it was a small fire that was contained in the kitchen, and Joe Biden reported it to the police right away, and then the firefighters came and put out the fire. This story was a lot more mild than the story that Joe Biden told in Hawaii of a lightning strike and his entire house being burned down. Along with that, Joe Biden has told this story before, and each time the story has been different. As at a fire prevention summit in October, Joe Biden claimed, "We almost lost a couple of firefighters during the blaze," which isn't true. At an infrastructure-focused event in 2021, he said he had a house burned down with his wife inside. which once again did not happen. So Joe Biden over-exaggerated the story to fit Hawaii's issues, because a lightning strike hitting a power line was kind of how the fire started, as I already said, reports are that winds knocked over electrical poles. Now, looking back, Joe Biden has done this a lot in the past, which is why I put it in the Joe Biden crisis cycle, which I now believe is better science than climate change. Now, I believe that with this whole story, Joe Biden is just trying to show sympathy, but it comes off as being rude and disingenuous. I don't believe that he lies to the public on purpose. The man is old, maybe his stories get all mixed up. And I also understand that many presidents haven't had a perfect record when it comes to tragic situations. George Bush famously took a plane ride around New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, even though the people on the ground claimed that he shouldn't land the plane. George Bush was called racist for this, and Kanye said that he didn't care about black people on live TV. Recently, Donald Trump threw paper towels into the crowd, which was seen as disrespectful to the people that were struggling and had absolutely nothing. Emergencies and tragic situations are not fun, and they can take a lot on the president. My advice would be to listen to the people, hear their stories. Maybe give them a hug or promise them that you will make sure that they are taken care of. Make sure that you make a statement about the situation right away and never say you don't want to comment on a certain situation. And please, I beg of you, don't joke or lie about your car getting burned up in a fire, because that will just make people more angry. Joe Biden has a few more years left in his presidency, so let's see if the Biden crisis cycle will continue to remain true. And with that, I just want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dockery Docket. And until next time, like my mom always says, be good, be kind, be loving, goodbye.